The word of God from the mouth of our master and teacher, Jesus Christ. Then that servant's master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is God's word. In Jesus' name. I hope you're strapped in. 329,961.34. Let's just round that up. $330,000. This is the amount that your household owes between personal debt combined with the national debt. So even if you have no credit card debt, no auto loans, no mortgage, no education loans, you nevertheless share in the national debt, which is part of this number. I think, 20 trillion national debt, 20 trillion personal debt. That's not even counting corporate debt. The world debt is over $217 trillion. It would take 6 years of bringing in the typical yearly household income, $56,000, to cover the debt. You may not have 6 years, or 6 months, or even 6 days. This debt could come due today, and then the life of our nation is collapsed and over. This is pennies compared to what you owe God. In every moment of your life, every breath you take, beginning with the life He has given you, you didn't ask for it or earn it, it's simply given to you as a gift, both in body and in soul. What is owed to God can only be paid using a certain currency, which is this: holiness. You have a lot of that lying around? Be holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Or as Jesus puts it in the New Testament, be perfect or be merciful, as your heavenly Father is perfectly merciful. God recognizes only that currency called holiness. It has different denominations: fear God, love God, trust God, love and serve the person you can see, your neighbor. While it is true that we are born into this nation with much debt, you know, those babies over in the Maple Grove Hospital, such a joyful place to be, but at the same time, little do they know the burden that's kind of put around their shoulders. But it is even more true that all those babies, and all of us too, are born into this world with a spiritual debt that is even heavier. We don't have holiness, but we do have many sins that just increase that debt, keep adding it on. We've offended the Lord our God, who's given us our life and everything, by our thoughts, our words, our deeds, what we've done, what we've left undone. Paul writes in today's epistle reading, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Not as a household grouping, but all alone, each individual soul will stand before him and kneel before him. Our intro for today is taken from Psalm 143, and that is the seventh of the seven penitential psalms. In it we sang together that God would give ear to my pleas for mercy. And the king in Jesus' parable exemplified that. He heard the pleas of that servant who approached him. Actually, did you hear the text? The king is the one who took the initiative. He's the one who wanted to settle accounts with everybody, all the servants. The servant, though, having been forgiven this massive debt, turned around and acted callously. He didn't hear, he didn't show mercy toward his fellow servant. We continued singing in the intro from Psalm 143 that God would enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. No one has the holiness to pay you. It is most certainly true that not a single human soul is living and is righteous before God at the same time. But there is a man who has died, and more than that, risen from the dead on the third day. He is righteous and holy, and every word, thought, or deed in his earthly life, he carried this through. He obeyed God, and he was perfectly holy, even from the moment of his birth and all the way to his conception. The angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." When this holy baby was born, he was not in debt of any kind. Not hundreds of thousands of dollars, like ours, nor any kind of spiritual debt he owed God. He's God's son. Though he is the son that hears the Father's voice and knows the Father's love and wants to extend that love, which is given concrete shape in forgiveness, he wants to extend that love to the world, and he'll do whatever it takes. Yes, he'll die in order to let the Father's love, which he himself has eternally enjoyed, to flow out to every sinner. Though he wasn't born in debt, he was born in poverty, and he endured even that for our sakes, all the way to the cross. And even though it doesn't look like it, there he is, whether in the manger or on the cross, he is a man of means. He's the only one. He is incredibly wealthy. His life is precious, infinitely so. And yet, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he made himself poor, so that we, through that poverty in the manger, on the cross, the sufferings he endured, the lowliness, the poverty, we, through his poverty, look, have been made rich. He makes us rich in heavenly ways. Last week we learned of a special gift that God has given to us, that we have been called the children of God, and that is what we are. We were warned, though, as children of God, not to be childish, which means not to follow the example of the disciples as they were walking behind Jesus on the road. They were arguing among themselves, who's the greatest? Well, that's really kind of silly. It's kind of like us arguing, who's the wealthiest? Because you want to know the truth? Nobody's wealthy when you look at it realistically. When you factor in that debt burden that's around all of our necks, nobody's wealthy. That's foolish. That's childish. Last week, Jesus used the object lesson of a real-life child to get the attention of the disciples. He placed that child right in the middle of them. This week, Jesus uses a very vivid parable about a king and his servants to answer Peter's question. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I should forgive him? 7 times? You know, last Sunday's real-life object lesson of a child placed in the middle there was intended to encourage us to see ourselves in that light and to become that, to become a child, but not childish. And this week's vivid parable of the king and his servants encourages us to see ourselves as servants of God. Not only children of God, but also servants of God. But, nevertheless, we should not act servile. Let me unpack that one. To be servile is to overact your role as a servant. It is as if your obedience is kind of coming out through your pores. It's evident always to everybody. Look at how great I am. A servant shouldn't be noticed for who they are. They are so busy carrying out what their master has given them to do. And so a servant who is servile kind of glories in being a servant, but not in his master. It is in what he can achieve or show forth. So he's not really thinking of the master, he's really thinking of himself. And that is Peter to a T in today's gospel reading. He's asking, kind of hoping the others can hear him, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? I'm pretty awesome. 7 times? Wow, look at me. I've really taken to heart this teaching of Jesus. But forgiveness is always more. It's always more than what we can even give. Even when we've been sinned against by a fellow brother in Christ or sister and we extend forgiveness to them, it's not perfect from the heart like it should be. It should be a joy, but often it feels more like a struggle, like a burden. Impossible. But with God, not with you, and not with your heart, but with God and His gracious heart, all things are now possible. Forgiveness is an action, but it's also more. It is a mindset, an attitude. It is having received agape love to then extend that love toward the person who doesn't deserve it, who's offended you, who's hurt you, who's maybe embittered your life. That goes pretty deep, but then to extend what you've first received. We are not mindless servants. When we forgive one another, we are servants who are mindful of who our master is. Our master. Mine and the master of the person who sinned against me. God is always in the picture. And only when He's in the picture can it happen where we do extend that forgiveness to one another. The word in Greek translated forgive could also be translated this way, to release, to let go. God has released you from all your debt that you owe Him, and He has thereby opened the kingdom of heaven to you. The amount we owed was secured. It was secured by the holy, precious blood and the innocent suffering and death of the Son of God. And Isaiah the prophet looks at Him and he says about Him, yeah, He's the Son of God. You know who He is. He is the servant. The servant. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. His whole life, body and soul, was given in exchange for your life. That's the cost. And He paid it. He paid it willingly. He paid it in great weakness so that then His power could shine through. You know, the freedoms that this world offers and really that we do enjoy greatly in our country come at a hidden cost that affects every single one of us and even really future generations. And we cannot pay. Instead, in fact, we're doing the opposite. We're amassing more and more. We're digging ourselves deeper and deeper. But thankfully, life in the kingdom of God is all about His pure and undeserved grace and mercy that forgives, that lets go and releases you from that burden of debt that you owe Him, which is even deeper than an economic thing, so that just as we have freely received forgiveness from God, our Lord and Master, we now, as servants, do what He says. And we don't fulfill it, but we need His forgiveness again and again and again and again until we die and He brings us safely to our heavenly home. Lord Jesus, think on me, by anxious thoughts oppressed. And I think those debts we have create anxiety, how much more our sin and the guilt against God. Lord Jesus, think on me, by anxious thoughts oppressed. Let me, your loving servant, be, and taste your promised rest, which is nothing less than the calm, the true peace of sins that are forgiven, and heaven that is open. Amen. Let us join